Okay, we're on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis in Sanhedrin, about six lines from the top. Next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses the laws of kings again. Lo choletz v'lo choltzim. You don't, a king does not do chalitza, and there's no chalitza done for his widow. So the Gemara asks a question. We see not like that. Eini. Oh, and then, by the way, the Mishnah also brought a machlokes. Even though the Tanakhama said a king does not do chalitza, you don't do chalitza as his wife, Rabbi Yehuda argued in the Mishnah and said a king is allowed to perform yibum or chalitza. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda had a different opinion about that. So now the Gemara is going to ask a question, Rabbi Yehuda, Eini, we see that's not so, Rabbi Yehuda. Vama Ravashi, Ravashi says, feel among the Amr, even according to the one who says, Nasi Shemochal al Kvodo, if a Nasi, an exilarch, is Mochal, he foregoes his honor. Kvodo Mochal, his honor can be foregone. Even if those who say that still agree, everyone agrees, Melech Shemochal al Kvodo, king who wants to forego his honor, sorry, ain't Kvodo Mochal. You cannot forego that honor. How do we know that? Shenemar, because the Torah says, Som tosim olecha melech. You must appoint a king over you. And the double expression comes to teach you, Shetehei emosa olecha, that his fear should be upon you. So how could Rabbi Yehuda permit a king to perform yibum or chalitza, which are both demeaning acts that would lower the status of the king in the eyes of the people? Especially chalitza, where she spits at the guy, that's definitely a demeaning thing. But even yibum sort of saying, well, you're forced to marry this woman, that if you want it or not, that's not exactly an honor for the king, if the king is subject to this. So that's the question of Yehuda. I mean, he can't forego his honor. So what's going to be the obvious answer?
Hashem said to do it.
Oh, very good. Gemara says, mitzvah shiny, a mitzvah is different. Okay? When you're saying that a king cannot renounce his honor, you know, that's for regular thing. Somebody slighted him, didn't invite him to bar mitzvah, off with his head. You know, if a guy invited everybody in the whole country, not the king, he can't be moichel on that honor. But if God says, do this, so that it's his honor is to do what Hashem wants. So it's praiseworthy. That's what Yehuda said. Remember, Yehuda says he should be remembered favorably if he does this. Okay? Let's see the footnote here. The Gemara in Sota teaches that in most cases, the sages agree with Yehuda's view that a king may waive his honor for the sake of a mitzvah. Or in this instance, so why did the rabbis argue that? The rabbi said he couldn't. So why did the rabbis argue? However, in this instance, they rule that a king may not waive his honor because yibum chalitza involve excessive degradation. That last part doesn't stay. Anyway, we'll have to figure that out. So that's the machlokes. In other words, if Yehuda says a mitzvah, he has to forego his honor. Chama says, I would agree. Most mitzvahs, he can forego his honor. But this is more degrading because it's really, affecting him more. The fact that he has to go through this whole process and the fact that she has to spit and whatever, or even to have yibum, that's really a little more than just your average mitzvah, as it were. So that becomes machlokes. Is the mitzvah supreme or the degradation here works out? Okay, that's that little bit. Next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ve'ein nosim, you may not marry a king's widow. All right, you may not marry a king's widow. This now becomes a long sugya here. So if you can't marry a king's widow, so Tanya, however, again, the Mishnah was a machlokes. Even though the Mishnah said you cannot marry a widow, Yehuda said a king is allowed to marry, he says a king can marry a king's widow. We said a king doesn't marry someone else's widow, but a king can marry a king's widow because that's honorable, because you're taking a woman that was married to a king. And he brought a proof. This is all in the Mishnah. This is the footnote brings here. And I, God, gave you, David, the woman of your master Saul. So that was the Mishnah. The Mishnah, Tanakhama says a king does not marry someone's widow. Rabbi Yehuda says a king marries the king's previous king's widow, and he proved it from the fact that Hashem, the pasuk says, Hashem says he gave to David the women of your master Saul. So now, what the Gemara is going to bring is a brisa that will continue the discussion that the Mishnah does not continue. This debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, it goes back and forth. After all, what's the Chachamim going to do with the proof that that Rabbi Yehuda brought from this pasuk? So Amar Lo, the brisa says, the rabbi said to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't mean, it says women from the house, but it doesn't mean his wives. It means Nashim Haru'uya Slobi Beisabach. Women from the household of the king who are suitable for him. In other words, not the wives of King Saul, but important women from the household of the king. And Umaynihu, and who were these important women? So his two wives, their names were Merav, U, and Michal. All right. Now, this becomes a very interesting discussion. Sholu Talmida es Rabbi Yossi. The following brisa discusses David's marriages to Merav and Michal. It's a big, big debate what went on over here. The students asked Rabbi Yossi, wait a minute, you're going to tell me that he married these two women? Heich nosa David shtei achios. How could David marry two sisters? Michal and Merav were sisters. Torah prohibits a man to marry two sisters. So now there's going to be two streams of thought to answer this question, and they're very much different than each other. Amar lahen Michal. Amar lahen. So Rabbi Yossi himself gave the following answer. He says, Michal achar misas Merav nosa. He married Michal after Merav died. You may marry a sister after the first one dies. That's okay. So that's his answer. So, right, he married two sisters, but he did it in the right time when one was not alive. That's answer number one.
Does it say the Navi in the story? Does it say who was alive when he married him?
No. It does. The Navi doesn't have to get into any details that are not necessary for the story. They don't have to give details to, you know, to satisfy our curiosities. You know, what you need to know, you know, what color was Avram's hair? I don't know.
No, this is a little more perfect, but you would assume this would be the case, otherwise he couldn't marry.
Would she have been the eldest sister?
Who knows? Well, anyway, now we have a whole different answer coming up over here. This is a simple answer, but Rabbi Shua ben Korcha Omer, no. He answers totally different.
So when it says he married his sister after the first one died, is that just an assumption?
David HaMelech would not directly violate an outright biblical avera, right? So then there's only one way we have to say, even though he married these two sisters, right? But he didn't marry them when they were both alive. That becomes the obvious answer. And nobody doesn't have to write, well, this one died. You know, there's too much stuff to write. They don't write these details. Rishua ben Korcha gives a whole different answer. He says, Kidushe to'us hoyolo b'meirav. He did marry Meirav. But the problem was, it was a kiddushe tos. It was a marriage made on a mistaken assumption, which the Gemara will discuss in great detail shortly. And that can, under certain circumstances, invalidate a marriage retroactively. Okay? It's just like you had a mekach tos, just like you do a business deal. And I assume this way, and it's, you know, the deal is, you give me $100, the guy passed me an envelope, and it had monopoly money. All right. So even though he made a kinyan and everything, it doesn't matter. It's a kinyan betos. So there's certain types of marriages. It could be a marriage that was totally based on a mistaken assumption and was invalid. So indeed, he married two sisters, but the one that he married became immediately invalidated. So then he never really married her. I mean, he married her, but wasn't married to her. So that's why the second one he could marry, because he never really was married to the first one. How do we know all this? All right, now this gets a little tricky now. Shenemar, as David HaMelech, when he, remember, he had a very stressed relationship with his father-in-law Shaul, to say the least. So he wanted to marry one of his daughters, Michal. So he says, Shenemar, David said to Shaul, to not es ishti, give me my wife, es Michal, Michal. And right away the Gemara is going to jump on the fact, why do you got to say, give me my wife, Michal? Just say, give me Michal. Now there was a deal over here. Asher erastili, whom I married, b'meya orlos plishtim, with 100 foreskins of the Philistines. Okay? Now, the commentary says, since David was never legally married to Merav, he was permitted to marry his sister. So let's see what's the deal here. So Shaul HaMelech said to David, if you kill 100 Philistines, and how long will you kill them? Bring me 100 foreskins. All right? So if you do that, let you marry my daughter Michal. Now, wait a minute. How is this a proof that the marriage to Merav was invalid? Well, the Gemara is going to get to that. All right? But the basic answer is, the first marriage to Merav was invalid, and they're bringing this puzzle that doesn't seem to tell us anything about the invalid marriage, but it's telling us another point, which we'll see in a minute. So he says, give me my wife, Michal. Now, she's not his wife yet, but he wants, right? He says, that I betrothed. In other words, you're telling me I need 100 foreskins. So here's the 100 foreskins. So give me my wife. Here's what the Gemara now analyzes. My Talmud. What's the proof? All right? How do you derive from this pasuk that we're dealing about marrying Merav, that the marriage to this other sister, the pasuk's talking about Michal, how does it prove that the marriage to Merav was invalid? So the Momarav, Papa Ravo, explains the following. Why did David say, Michal Ishti? Why did he say, my wife Michal? Well, that implies the double expression, my wife is Michal, to the exclusion, velo Merav Ishti. But Merav is not my wife. In other words, he just could have said, give me Michal. Right? Why say, give me Michal, my wife? That's certainly extra. So what he means to say is, give me Michal, because she's going to be my only wife. My only wife. Because the other one, Merav, you know, was a mistaken one, as we'll see what it is. And kind of David got cheated out of it, we'll see. It's a whole discussion. So that's the proof. Since David only refers to Michal as his wife, that means to exclude that Merav was not his wife. And why? Because the first marriage to Merav was done on a mistaken notion. Now the Gemara asks, okay, what was the mistake by Merav? Yeah, good so far? So my kiddushei tos. So what was the mistaken assumption in the first marriage by Merav that made it not valid? What's going on? So it says like this. Remember when Goliath came onto the scene? Remember when the Philistines decided that they don't want to just have all this hand-to-hand combat? So they bring their biggest warrior, Goliath. And he comes on and says, listen, you take your best man, be against our best man. Whoever wins, the whole country wins. Okay. Well, it was a big figure, and everyone was scared to death to fight the guy. So Shaul had to give an incentive. What was the incentive? The incentive is, Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, V'hoye ish, and the man that will be, Asher Yakenu, who will slay Goliath, Yashren HaMelech, the king will make him wealthy, Ha'osher Gadol, great wealth, but the Gemara doesn't give you the rest of the Pasuk, but the commentary says, and it'll give you his daughter. All right, that's going to be Merav. That's the daughter, okay? So guess what? David HaMelech came along, also Katli. David went and he killed Goliath. Now, here's going to be the issue over here. All right? Now, okay, so now he's entitled to marry this woman. The question is, so he has to marry. Now, you have to marry a woman in one of three ways, right? Kesef, Shtar, Bia. There's three legal ways. So what did David do? So it's very interesting what David did over here. Now remember, what did Shaul offer? A lot of wealth and my daughter. So let's look at it this way. Once David HaMelech killed Goliath, at that point immediately, what has happened? Shaul owes David money because he promised him a lot of money. At that point, when Goliath was killed, at that point, Shaul incurred a debt to David. Okay, I just want you to get the steps here. He also promised his daughter. Okay, so this is what David does now here. Amar lo. So David, Saul said to David, Milva Isli Gaboy, you have a debt to collect from me, the great wealth. And what happened was, let me fill in the gaps here. David HaMelech, what he did was, he said, listen, I want to marry your daughter. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to marry her by giving the money. You know what the money I'm going to give is? I'll forego the debt. Right? If you forego the debt, it's like I'm giving you the money. Of course, the father is marrying off the daughter. So you give the money to the father. It's the same thing like giving the money to the girl. So Shaul owed him whatever, thousands of dollars. So the Malach says, I'm Makadish your daughter by forgoing the debt, which would seem to be reasonable. Ah, so comes along Shaul HaMelech and says, listen, you know, Shaul said, you have a debt to collect from me, and V'amakadesh b'milva eina mekudeshes. And if you betroth a woman by forgoing a debt, that's not considered a kedushin. So therefore, Shaul, this was later, this wasn't in the beginning. He married her, but later when Shaul didn't like David, he said, you know, you never really were married to my daughter, because the kedushin was an invalid kedushin. Okay, let's take a look at the footnotes. One of the ways in which a man can effect legal marriage is to give a woman something that is worth at least a pruta. If the woman is a minor, as was Merav, he gives the item to her father. So what did David do? One cannot effect kedushin by canceling a loan that the woman or her father owed him. Why? Since she acquired the loan property when it was loaned to her, he is not giving her anything new at the time of the attempted kedushin that she did or not already own. Oh, Shim or the father. Or the father. In other words, you got to give her something. She has to acquire something. And by her acquiring something, the kedushin now is valid. That's the normal kedushin is, I give the lady a dollar, she acquires it, and in exchange, I marry her. So David was saying, listen, you owe me thousands, or her or the father, same way, because she's a minor. He says, you owe me thousands of dollars, so I'm boichel it. So it's like I gave you $1,000. However, when it comes to kedushin, we say, no, you've got to actually give something they didn't have before, and foregoing a loan is wonderful, but you didn't give anything, because it's like they had it the whole time. So you're not really giving anything. So in our case, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha maintains that David did not actually give Shaul anything to effect the kedushin. He only waived Shaul's commitment to award him with the wealth. There's no difference in money owed as a result of a loan and money owed as a result of some other commitment. Saul therefore correctly claimed that David's marriage to Merav was not valid.
So Shaul would have given the thousands of dollars to him, and then he would have turned around and give it right back.
That would have been fine. Sure. Listen, he could have just taken a ring out of a Cracker Jack box and given it to Merav. It would have worked. So, but David just said, listen, I didn't want the money. You know, I don't care about the money. You just keep the money. And Agav, that'll be the Kedushin money. And in the beginning, it was okay. In the beginning, Shaul liked David. So he was married to Merav. Now, exactly how long he was married, I can't tell you. He was married to Merav. Then when David fell in disfavor, so Shaul says, you know, you never were married to my sister. I discussed it with the rabbis. To my daughter, I discussed it with the rabbis. And you can't betroth a woman by forgoing a loan. And he took it even a step further. But before you get a step further, what's your question?
I was just asking, if he liked him, and he liked, I guess he knew the halacha, why would it matter if he just didn't?
I don't know. Could be maybe he didn't know the halacha then. Listen, when you like somebody, you don't think about all these details. All of a sudden, you get upset. You figure, wait a minute, how can I get him out of this? You know, I don't want him being married to my daughter anymore. So you go start asking your rabbi. And he probably asked the Gadol, and he said, oh, you know, this should never have been a wedding. Okay, I don't know all the other details that came out of here. I don't know if he wasn't living with her. You know, maybe it just was betrothed. It was an erusin. Maybe they never went further than that. Because remember, she was a minor. Really? And really, you're not supposed to marry her yet. Remember he said, Talmid Chachamim, don't marry minors? So, okay, she's betrothed to me. You know, she's in down the line, and as she grows up, then I'll marry her or whatever. Not necessarily lived with her. Especially if she was a katana, it wouldn't behoove him to do that.
So just one more question on that.
Yeah.
If it's only that stage, that are you married from the perspective?
You are married. That's an that is a marriage. So you couldn't marry her sister. Couldn't marry his sister.
Give her a get.
So now, but we're not done yet. Hold on. So Saul was so upset. Not only did he nullify the marriage, but also Yavel Adriel. He went then and took Merv and gave him to another man. Adriel was his name, to be his wife. How do we know this? Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Vahi ba'eis teis as Merv ba'shal l'David. And so it came to pass at the time when Merav, daughter of Shaul, should have been given. That's after should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel. Okay? So now he says, you know, not only did we nullify the marriage, I went and married her off to Adriel. Okay? What are you seeing from all this? That the first marriage was invalidated. So when David married Michal, give me Michal, my wife. This is my first wife, because the other wife you invalidated for me.
So there was no get required,
because it was never a val. If you didn't do a Maisa Kedushin, remember, again, I guess there's no Bia. There was no Bia. And again, even Bia doesn't help. If a man just, you know, unless it's for the intention to be betrothed with the Bia.
He would be married. He was married to her at the time. He did.
Okay.
So it would have been a marriage.
But it wasn't. Again, and even let's say he did Bia, he didn't do the Bia for the sake of marriage.
Because he thought he was already there.
Right. If you technically, biblically, can betroth a woman through the act of Bia. But you have to have in mind, when you're doing the Bia, it's for betrothal. If you thought the betrothal was on money, and then you have regular Bia with her, then that's no different than any Bia. What if two single people have Bia with each other, not for the sake of marriage? They ain't married. Right. So anyway, we're not done. The story goes on. So he gives Merav to Adriel. Amarle. So now the Gemara. So that's point number one. Now the Gemara now discusses David's marriage to Michal. So Amarle. So Shaul then said to David. Remember, he said, "Give me my wife." Right. We're going back now. We're jumping back and forth. Remember, the proof was that David said, "Give me my wife, Michal." My wife, Michal, and my other wife isn't my wife. Because look what you did already. You went and you said, well, it wasn't a good marriage. You married her off to Adriel. So let's go back now to the main story. He wants Michal. So what does Shaul say? Shaul then said to David, well, please give me my wife. He says, Ibois, if you want me, that tein lecha Michal, if you want me to give you, we're going back to, dropping back a little bit to the story. If you want Michal, Zil Isili Mayaros Plishin, give me 100 foreskins of the Plishin. Okay, Azil Isili, he went and brought him 100 foreskins for the Plishin. Amarle, so Shaul said to him, he says, Milva Upruta Islach Gabai, you have given me a loan, right, and a Pruta. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, he's going back, he's saying, listen, you gave me a loan that you didn't have to pay me back the money when you killed Goliath. That's right. And now you gave me a pruta. What does he mean by a pruta? He says the foreskins were worth a pruta to affect the marriage. Right?
Is David saying this?
No, Shaul is saying this.
Now he's contradicting himself. Now he's saying he paid
him. No. Milva, a loan. The loan was when you canceled the award of the great wealth. The pruta is the foreskins.
So he paid a pruta's worth for the marriage.
For the foreskins, for Michal. This is for Michal, not for Meir. Well, this gets confusing.
Right, okay. I got it.
Now, it really gets confusing, okay? Shaul thought, Milva upruta daita milva. Shaul thought that if a man betroths a woman by canceling a loan, and that she owes him, and by giving her a pruta, the marriage is invalid because he has in mind only on the loan. I think what, you know, see, this is a commentary, really is kind of funny over here. He's going back to Michal over here. So again, now, what, he's saying, he thinks, let's say you marry a person by canceling out a loan and you give a penny. So which one do you really have in mind? Which one do you really think is the act of the Kedushin? Canceling out the loan or giving the penny? So Shaul thought that when you want to betroth the woman by canceling a loan that he owes, and by giving a penny, the marriage is invalid because in his mind it was only on the loan. Because that's the main thing. So he thought the marriage was not valid because the loan's much more important. Okay? So here's the problem over here. I don't understand what was the canceling of the loan with Michal, though. What loan did he cancel with Michal, unless you want to say, what loan was there? That loan was already canceled by the other one. So this is what I don't understand the Gemara. So Shaul held that if you marry a woman by canceling a loan and giving a pruta, and this is with for Michal over here. This is for Michal. One second. The David Savar, and David held, Milva pruta daita pruta. If you waive the loan, you give a pruta, the intention is for the pruta. It says, give me my wife. So now it comes out of Machlokes, David and Shaul, is he married to Michal? Okay, Meirav is out. Meirav was Makash, right? So this becomes a big problem. All right, so this was the issue here. But it's not clear to me, what's going on. He just says, kill the Philistine, give him 100 foreskins. But what was the debt that he owed? Doesn't seem so, yeah?
It could be like the month after he found out the marriage to Mera was...
You mean the loan came back on?
Yeah, it came back
on. Oh, okay, that could be. Once you said that, once the marriage is invalid,
yeah, that could be.
If the marriage is invalid, then I didn't cancel out the loan. Okay, that could be a good answer. So I guess he comes out and says, okay, give me this wife, and I'll cancel out the loan, but here's the pruta. So now the question is, what is the main intent? Well, certainly the money is worth more than the foreskins. Right? So Shaul thought, well, the main thing is you're canceling out the loan. And that's what I'm having in mind with this. And that's really affecting the marriage. So he said, no, I'm having in mind the pruta. Right? So then it makes a difference if he's married to Michal or not. Now, so Meirav was no machlokas. They found out retroactively, not married to Meirav. But Michal, there's a machlokas, Shaul and David, are you married to her or not? All right? Meanwhile, this is all part of the second answer. Remember, how could David marry two sisters? So we've come full circle. But wait a minute. Maybe this debate between David and Shaul goes different. This last part. If you want, we can say the debate between Shaul and David, if the marriage of Michal was good or not. The Kuliyama Milva Pruta died for every agrees. If you're Mekadesh with a Milva and a Pruta, everyone says you have a mind for the Pruta. So it should be a good marriage. But here's the point. Shaul, the question is, are the foreskins worth a Pruta? Shaul says, Lo Chazalim, the foreskins aren't worth anything. The David Sover, Chazal Kalvashun, you can feed them, you can give them to dogs and cats. They're food for dogs and cats, so they're worth a penny. So therefore, that's the Machlokes. So David felt he was married to Michal, and Shaul said was not married to Michal. Now, let's keep going. Well, so that was, now remember, this was all, this answer started, remember, we asked a question, how can you marry two sisters? The question was asked of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi answered, he married one after the other one died. Remember? Rabbi Shua ben Korcha says, no, I learned from the facts, is give me my Michal, my wife. Right? Now the question of Rabbi Yossi, who doesn't give this answer, what does he do with the words, Michal, my wife? What does Rabbi Yossi do? For Rabbi Yossi, hi, Tanas Ishti Vesmichal, my Darshbe. So according to Rabbi Yossi, what does he do with that drasha? Right? Because he says there was never a problem to begin with. Merav died and then he married Michal. So what do you got to say the extra wording? So how do you explain that? So Rabbi Yossi, the time, Rabbi Yossi, according to his reason, and now it gets very complicated. Titania, because Rabbi Yossi says, you know what? The whole thing has to be understood differently. Hayadoresh mikraos mu'uravim. He expounded these verses as interchangeable, and a lot was to be interchanged. And you know what? It's going to take more than 1 minute. So we're going to just stop here because it's very complicated, the next part. I don't want to rush through this. So we're left with, we have two answers. How did he marry two sisters? Rabbi Yossi says he married one sister after the other one died. The other rabbi says, no, the first marriage was invalid. And I know that from the fact that David said, give me Michal, my wife. So the question is, how does Rabbi Yossi deal with the extra words, Michal, my wife, And he says it's a very confusing thing. So we'll just